From Red Hook in the heart of the Hudson Valley, this is Radio Rotary.
Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treadwasser.
Welcome back to another edition of Radio Rotary.
Each week we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world. People applying Rotary's motto of service above self.
And we are coming to you from the Red Hook Rotary Club's meeting at the Apple a Day Diner on South Broadway in the heart of Red Hook, New York. Our guests are fellow Rotarians Glenn Goldstein and Susan Simon, who will be discussing today's economy. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Susan Simon.
And thank you to Red Hook Rotary for having us. It was a fabulous breakfast.
Good morning, Susan Simon.
Good morning.
And good morning, Glenn Goldstein.
Good morning.
So everyone has on their mind and on their lips the economy. It's all you hear about. It's all people talk about. How did we get where we are today in the economy, Glenn?
How did we get where we are today?
It's a very loaded question.
Do we start in 2008 or are we starting in 2000 and the end of 2010?
Any place you and Susan want to start. What do you think?
We could start in 1600.
Since we sort of hit an abyss and now we're sort of coming out, let's talk about how we got into the abyss first,
right,
at least in part, and then we'll talk about hopefully how we're climbing out of the abyss. Is that reasonable?
Please. Sure.
Well, in 2005, 6, and 7, as most of your listeners know, it was very easy to get a real estate loan. And as such, housing prices climbed and climbed and climbed, and people used their homes as their personal piggy banks as they appreciated in value.
You mean like through a home equity loan?
Used
or like an ATM.
Like an ATM
right.
card, that's exactly right.
Is that a direct hit at me?
No, not
at all. Sarah,
when she's not being the queen of morning radio, is in the banking industry. But we don't talk about that.
No.
All right. Anyway, you were saying Glenn Goldstein.
And everything blew up for a host of reasons.
Yes, it did.
And now housing prices are down a great deal in value, and people own homes that are worth less than their equity is less than what they owe on their homes, and it's caused a huge stress to the economy that has, there was overflow to everywhere.
They call that being underwater, right?
Being underwater.
Now let me ask you a question, and Susan, maybe you want to comment on this. I know that when my wife and I bought our home more than 30 years ago, we had to come up with a 20% down payment. They looked at our income very strictly and said, you know what, this is the house range, the range of price that you can buy into. And we took that to the real estate broker, and they took us around beautiful Red Hook, and we have our home, and we're very happy, of course. But how did that change from 30 years ago to today?
I think a lot of it is based on greed, and that's not pointing fingers at anyone in particular, but greed came into play, and people began to use their homes as ATMs, and banks allowed them. And that's all tied into wanting to have a certain amount of income so that share prices go up. And it was just this cycle that took place where it kept expanding and expanding and expanding, but there really wasn't a strong foundation underneath to support all the money that was going out. And many people got loans that were inappropriate for them and were convinced that they could afford it when in reality they really couldn't.
I just want to clarify something. It wasn't specifically banks. There were finance companies involved here.
That's why I didn't want to name anyone.
Because banks are under a different scrutiny and always have been than finance companies.
And Sarah would never let you get a loan that's inappropriate.
And the finance companies, the secondary market, are the people that led the way to basically everything crashing and burning. Not necessarily the community banks in particular. I just have to stick up for that. And we are back to what Jonah's point of when a lender was looking at your income and your credit and your ability to repay a loan. We've come full circle now back to more sound lending practices. And there is a difference between the investment banks and a bank. Investment banks were involved with that too.
Yeah, the whole problem was exacerbated at every single level. I mean, when someone came to appraise your house, they basically, the number that they provided was the number that was needed to get the loan. How they magically always got to that number is beyond.
Well, the market here was inflated too, so there was proof to support the comps at that time.
Right.
But no. We're talking to Glenn Goldstein and Susan Simon, both
of the
military.
Let's just give Glenn his real credentials here.
Yeah,
he's
Glenn,
not just a redhead. He's
about
a managing director of portfolio management at Focused Wealth Management and a Rotarian in Red Hook.
And president of Red Hook Rotary.
Oh, now that I didn't know.
Right.
Now, I knew you hit a deer hit you. Was it earlier this week or on the web? Oh, boy. Okay.
But he's safe and sound.
And Susan Simon is a registered financial consultant and registered life planner, vice president of Third Eye Associates Limited, and a registered investment advisor.
And future president of Red Hook Road.
There you go.
I'm surrounded by greatness.
But this problem was exacerbated, you're right, by investment banks. That very often when banks initiate mortgages, they very often sell these loans. And they were getting repackaged by investment banks for the most part, Lehman Brothers being one of them.
Well, Glenn, just tell our listening audience, for those that don't understand the difference between an FDIC type of a bank and an investment bank. What is the difference?
Well, in an FDIC investment bank, there's an insurance for deposits. I'm not sure. FDIC, there's a fine line when you get to big ones. I mean, J.P. Morgan is both. A lot of the banks are both now, so I'm not really sure where you're going.
I guess I was just trying to define the difference between a real investment bank and a bank that's in the heart of your town.
An FDIC bank, their main job is to take deposits and lend money to people, small businesses. The larger the bank, obviously, the larger their assets, the more they can lend. An investment bank is really more of an investment company. They certainly advise people on investments, investment banking. They help large companies raise capital by helping them issue bonds, by issuing stock, etc.
They have a different function in the economic food chain of life. But
there's been a lot of overlap in recent history, and there's a question whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Are there more controls being put into place with that kind of, let's call marriage or overlap?
Well,
I think that was a good word.
There are more controls. Unfortunately, very often the controls are a result of something catastrophic that's happened.
Isn't that always the way?
So
there was a rule put in place because of this.
And they closed the barn door after the cow.
Right, it's a reaction.
There you go.
And usually when the rule goes into place because of a reaction, it affects people that didn't necessarily need to have that rule there. So it's it is quite a conundrum.
Well, I've lived a tough tale. I can attest to that.
I don't want to take a stand one way or the other, but I mean, to me always, because everybody is asking for more regulation, and personally, although I'm not opposed to more regulation, the real problem here is the regulation that was on the books just wasn't enforced.
Well, in the minute or two we have left before the break, we're talking with Red Hook Rotarians Glenn Goldstein and Susan Simon about the economy. We're talking about how we got here, the history of the situation. What about outside influences, the attack on the World Trade Center, the troubles in the Middle East and the price of oil? How does that affect our economy, how did it get us where we are today?
I've very often heard the term that oil is the Achilles heel of the economy. We seem to be like very much at the effect of the price of oil. But then again, you also have to consider, we are so, and you've heard this term before, we are so in a global society. There is no more, you know, this happened on our soil or their soil, and that doesn't matter to us. We are one.
Yes, we are. We are global. We are a global society now, global economy. If something happens in China, 10 minutes later, it's hit Wall Street in New York City.
So after the commercial break, we're going to, now that we know what the history has been, we're going to explore what you advise our listeners to do to make their own financial status a little bit more secure. Let me remind our listeners that they're in tune with Radio Rotary on Hudson Valley Talk Radio and around the world by podcast on iTunes and at www.radiorotary.org. My name is Jonah Treeblos, and my co-host is the effervescent Sarah O'Connell, and our very special guests are financial advisors and experts Glenn Goldstein and Susan Simon, Red Hook Rotarians. We're coming to you from the Apple a Day Diner on Route 9, South Broadway in Red Hook, in the heart of the Hudson Valley. And Sarah, who brings us Radio Rotary this week?
Well, Jonah, Radio Rotary is sponsored by Rotary International, Rotary District 7210, and the Rotary Clubs of Arlington, Poughkeepsie, Brewster, Cairo, Chester, Congress Valley Cottage, Fishkill, Goshen, Highland, Hyde Park, Kingston, and Kingston Sunrise.
And we'll be back with more Radio Rotary after these important messages.
In 1985, while polio was paralyzing 1,000 children a day, Rotary International committed to a goal of ending polio worldwide. Very soon now, after contributing nearly $600 million and immunizing over 2 billion children, the goal will be achieved. Eradicating polio worldwide. That is humanity in motion. That is Rotary.
For information about Rotary in the Hudson Valley, visit www.rotarydistrict7210.org.
What would you do if a friend, coworker, or a loved one collapsed? Calling 911 alone will not be enough. Over 1,000 people a day die from sudden cardiac arrest. Many can be saved with early intervention. HealthSave offers CPR courses on a daily basis at our facility in Rockland County. We'll come to your home or business if you prefer. Call us toll-free at 877-277-6233. That's 877-277-6233. Or visit our website at healthsave.com. That's HEALTHSAV.com. Leave the E off of save for emergencies. CPR training is for everyone. Learn CPR. Become a lifesaver.
Jettelson Giordano & Siegel, CPA PC, is a full-service accounting, tax, and business consulting firm.
JGS specializes in business succession planning, including ownership transition, management transition, as well as family and non-family transitions.
The JGS staff works alongside you to solve the problems of your specific business or personal situation.
JGS is conveniently located on Route 211 in Middletown, New York. To learn more, please contact JGS at 845-692-9500 or visit them on the web at www.jgspc.com.
Jettelson, Giordano, and Siegel, your essential partner in business.
Hudson Valley Talk Radio.
And welcome back to this edition of Radio Rotary. We are broadcasting live from the Red Hook Rotary Club at the Apple a Day Diner in the heart of Red Hook, New York.
Which is in the heart of the Hudson Valley.
Which is your Rotary Club, Jonah.
And the sun is shining.
And you're a past president.
I'm past
and
it. I'm
we
well past
are
it.
Chatting with your fellow Rotarians from your club, Susan Simon, who is a registered financial consultant and registered life planner, vice president of Third Eye Associates Limited, and a registered investment advisor, as well as Glenn Goldstein, who is the Managing Director of Portfolio Management at Focused Wealth Management. So, welcome back,
so
everybody.
So, Glenn, hello again, and Susan, hello again.
Hello.
So, I made a boo-boo. I said you're going to give advice, and actually, legally you're not supposed to give advice. You can give opinions.
Opinions.
So, now that we know the history and the background of how we got to the economy, what is your opinion on how we get out of this this mess? Who wants to go first?
What? I was going to say we should just dig a hole and throw everybody in and start over.
Susan Simon.
Putting kidding aside, Susan, what do you suggest?
Well, how do we get out of this mess? That's different for everyone. But I think my opinion is when it comes to people's personal finances, their goals, planning is very, very important that you have a plan in place, because when the markets get choppy, whether they're good or bad, emotions come into play. And as soon as emotions come into play, we're not thinking with our full capacities. And sometimes, or should I say very often, mistakes are made that wind up really taking away any possibility of fulfilling on your goals.
That's an excellent, excellent point. Put things in place, be thoughtful before emotions run high.
Exactly.
And that's a great life lesson, but people don't necessarily apply that to their finances, I don't think.
Somebody to hold their hands very often, because what happens is, and this happened in 2008, the public, what we'll call a retail customer, is generally selling when they should be buying and buying when they should be selling. And that's a huge
You mean
problem.
As far as stocks it's and investments?
All their investments.
Or their homes?
They're
always
getting in or bailing out at the wrong time. It's sort of because, I mean, markets are ruled by fear and greed, and that's what happens when everybody is... the dot-com crash was a perfect
example. That's a great example.
Of everybody on the greed side.
Explain what that is, Glenn Gelstein, for those who may not remember.
Well, the dot-com crash was when a whole bunch of high technology, mostly internet companies that never had any chance of making a nickel, went up astronomically in value, and there were people that made quite a bit of money, and people kept on jumping on board. And then the world came to an end, and people lost a great deal of money. And it took the market down for a short period of time. And what happened is you had all these people jumping into the market and buying all of these garbage stocks for all intents and purposes at the top. And then when the market came down and crashed,
this got so scared. This is
2001.
Oh, 2001.
What comes around goes around.
Gotcha.
And so then they ended up selling the bottom. And quite frankly, the same thing happened in 2008. People got really scared and they couldn't take any more pain. And that's why I think what Susan was saying before, you have to have a game plan. And that gets into how one invests their money. I mean, people should start with their retirement money, frankly, in today's world, given that we have no idea what Social Security is going to be like. Everybody is living longer. You're going to need more money to live in retirement. So that's where you start, putting away as much money as humanly possible for retirement, where you're going to end up working, you know, for your whole life if you're fortunate enough to have a job. And you have to be diversified, and you just have to be smart, and never put yourself in a position where you are ruled by the fear factor when things are bad. Things will go up and down.
So let's say you do have the self-discipline to set aside a portion of every paycheck for savings. I remember when I was started out working as a young man, they recommended the payroll savings plan. You get savings bonds. You hear on radio and TV and see print ads about buy gold coins. What should people be doing, in your opinion, to sock that money away for their golden years?
Once again, I think a plan should be in place so that once you have the plan in place, you start to have timelines. And different pools of money can be invested for the different timelines that you have. So going to retirement, if somebody is, say, 30 years old, you can figure they're going to be working for another 30 years.
Someone like Sarah, for example.
There you have it. Yeah, so you'll be working for another 30 years. You have a nice long timeline, but then again, there's all the other factors that come into play, your own personal risk of tolerance. You have to be able to sleep at night. You know, maybe not too well in that. You have to have a little bit of risk there to be able to get the return, but it's really the balance of the two. And people should be really looking at a diversified portfolio, not concentrating on one particular sector, even if it's the one in favor. Because what happens is when something is in favor, you're usually buying high. When it's out of favor, if you freak out, you're selling low, and then you're running to the next thing that's already in favor, buying high again. So if you're diversified, there's something in your portfolio at any given time that's doing well, or maybe not, but you're buying it at a lower price. And you work with someone that either can guide you in that, or very often a retirement plan, they have
guidance.
Yeah, portfolios that are already
managed.
Allocated. Right, for your
so you're talking about seek professional advice and try and have a plan in place so you're not reacting with pure emotion.
Right. Don't chase performance. You will always lose. You will always be at at the end of the game, you'll always be the dumb money, the person buying when the smart money is selling. Historically, this year's losers, and there are certainly exceptions, are next year's winners. And people get themselves caught in this spiral whereby they're always, you know, on the wrong side. And that's why you really need a game plan. And the other thing, you need assets in bonds, you need assets in stocks. People should not ignore life insurance based on their personal situation, whether it's term, universal, whole. Now there's index universal life. People who need to establish a living benefit in retirement whereby they're creating their own pension should not ignore variable annuities regardless to anything bad they've heard about them, because it's foolish and there are a lot of good products out there. People really have to be diversified, and they have to do on a regular basis, whether it's quarterly, yearly, they have to rebalance their portfolios. And this is
so very how often do you suggest for the everyday person who goes to work and is trying to put money into their retirement account, whether it's a 401k, an IRA, a pension, whatever it is, how often should they annually review that?
Probably quarterly.
Well, but you said it no less than annual,
right,
at least once a year, check in, with your, even with your own personal goals. I promise you, whatever your goals are today, in a year, they could be different. You might have even fulfilled on some of those goals, but people change, our timeline changes, our situations change, at least annually. Quarterly would be what? Any more than that, you'll drive yourself crazy.
Don't fall in love with your assets. Don't fall in love with one stock. What'll happen is, and what we mean by rebalancing is, you may have a portfolio that's 25% bonds and 75% stocks. And because of market conditions over the year, after 1 year, it may end up 90% stocks and 10% bonds. You should go back to the 75-25. You should never have a particular stock in your portfolio that's more than, well, in my opinion, 5%. One of the things that I found in the Hudson Valley, a lot of people own a handful of stocks, IBM, General Electric. No opinion about whether these are good stocks or not, but over the years they've let them accumulate to the point where they make up an enormous part of their net worth.
So don't let your portfolio get dusty.
It's really not a good decision. You don't know when a stock is going to blow
up. And you call it rebalancing.
Rebalancing
your portfolio.
Now, in the minute we have left, I want you to prognosticate what's going to happen with Social Security. We have all the baby boomers retiring.
Sitting in this room.
A few are sitting in this room, yes. And what's going to happen to Social Security? Who wants to take a stab at that?
My guess is, and you know, I could be way off base, the people sitting in this room probably will have something, but then that's it. We're gonna exhaust it.
Yeah, that's
my prediction.
Yeah, and I think Social Security down the road will look a little different. I don't think it's going to be vastly different. I think the area to really look at is Medicare. Medicare is where our government's biggest challenge in terms of future liability. There'll probably be changes to both, but I think Medicare is more radical.
Well, Glenn Goldstein and Susan Simon, Red Hook Rotarians, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Rotary. And our thanks to the Red Hook Rotary Club for hosting us. It's been a treat and a delight. And tell me, young lady, Miss Sarah O'Connell, who brings us Radio Rotary this week?
Well, Radio Rotary is sponsored by Rotary International, Rotary District 7210, and the Rotary Clubs of Millbrook, Newburgh, New Paltz, New Windsor, Cornwall, North Rockland, Pleasant Valley, Port Jervis, Red Hook, Rhinebeck, and Southern Ulster.
Sarah O'Connell, this is Joe Detrieve-Blosser, thanking you for tuning in and inviting you to join us again next Friday morning at 9 for another edition of Radio Rotary right here on Hudson Valley Talk Radio.
Literacy Connections will be holding its annual Community Spelling Bee at Marist College on March 15, 2011 from 9 a.m. to noon.
The Bee is supported by local businesses and organizations, which breaks the cycle of illiteracy and poverty in our communities.
Admission to the Bee at Marist on March 15th at 9 a.m. is free, and the competition is loads of fun. For more information, contact Literacy Connections at www.literacyconnections.org. That's literacyconnections.org.
The new Windsor Cornwall Rotary Club welcomes renowned herbalist and author Susan Weed at a special benefit lecture plus Q&A on Saturday, March 26 at 1 p.m. at St. John's Episcopal Church on Clinton Street in Cornwall, New York. Tickets are just $50 and includes a lunch with vegetarian option. Seating is limited, so reserve early. For information, call 845-246-2713. That's 845-246-2713.